I'm Pamela Fagan Hutchins, your host, and this is the show where I talk with other crime fiction writers about the stories of thrills and suspense that will leave you mystified, sometimes horrified, and always wanting more. Please join me in welcoming today's special guest. Well, hello out there, everyone. I am Pamela. This is Crime and Wine, but I bet you knew that since you're on my page and on my show. If not, welcome. I'm glad to have you. I am really excited today to welcome a non-crimey guest to Crime and Wine because she writes a new series that's set in Wyoming. And as you guys know, I am all about the Wyoming. Not only do I live there, my last few series are set there, including my new releases in the Detective Delaney Pace series. So you could not come up with a better setting for a guest to tell me that their books are going to be in. I am very pleased to welcome my friend Kelly Coates Gilbert today. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi. Hello, everyone. And thanks for having me, Pam. This is going to be fun.
I think it's going to be very fun. We have so much in common, we've discovered over the last year or so of knowing each other. Not just the surface level writing thing, but you are a Texas girl, and or you are now. You didn't grow up in Texas.
Yeah.
And Dallas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we probably lived in Dallas at about the same time. So maybe we were neighbors. Who knows?
Maybe. But you know, and I think we both have a legal background too, don't we?
We do. We do. You are a legal investigator. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I worked for the Justice Department for a long time, and I worked for some of the largest law firms in the Pacific Northwest investigating white collar crime.
Awesome. Well, I was an I'm a lawyer, but I was an investigator. I own an investigations company still.
Yeah.
And we do mostly harassment and discrimination kind of stuff. So we sometimes worked with the white collar crime investigators when things would cross over, like someone was an equal opportunity jerk and did criminal things as well as just really creepy things. But mostly I was in the creepy stuff, you know, who pinched whose butt or showed something they shouldn't have or whatever.
Well, I don't know about you, but that background lends very well to novel writing. There is no better way to study people than in the legal field.
I completely agree with you. I think that that we really, we couldn't have picked a better background. And yet I don't mind having left it. I don't know about you, but I kind of like the writing about it more than the doing of it.
I adore this second career, but I did adore what I, the legal work too. The problem is that trials and the kind of intense work is just so draining. And you can only do that for so many years. I mean, I turned 50 and I was just pooped. I was done. I couldn't pull the all-nighters anymore.
And, I agree with that. I think about it in a slightly different way, but my husband and I got married when I was 39. And at the time I had two kids, he had three, and they were all like, why don't y'all have a baby? And literally there is not a week that goes by where I don't think I could no more be staying up all night right now waiting for a teenager to get home. How do older parents do it? I couldn't, please Lord, don't let me end up raising my grandkids because it would kill me. But occasionally I pull an all-nighter for a book. What about you? Are you a daytime writer, a nighttime writer, or?
I get up at the crack of dawn with my husband. He runs one of the largest beef manufacturing companies here in Texas. And he gets up like 3:30 in the morning. So I get up with him and have coffee with him. And then I do all my administrative numbers, that kind of thing. And then I start writing. And I usually finish up about 3 in the afternoon and then do some marketing in the evening and read and research and such. And then we've taken a lot of research trips. Our trip to Wyoming was almost like my home state. I grew up in Sun Valley, Idaho area.
Yep.
Just over the hill from the Tetons. So going back to Wyoming the last couple of summers, researching has been heaven. I mean, just heaven. I am so jealous you live there full time.
It is wonderful. I'm not going to lie. What made you choose Wyoming as a setting? You already grew up somewhere beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we took a family trip to Yellowstone. My grandbabies had never been, and I'm adamant that they're going to go enjoy, you know, the area that I grew up in. And my family are all pioneers of the area. My three great grandfathers back was the first territorial governor of Idaho. My second grandfather was really close friends with Adolph Coors of the Coors Beer Dynasty. He used to live in Idaho before he moved to Colorado. I have all the trunks of information. We have quite the history there. So I'm adamant about taking my grandkids. So we were going to do the Idaho thing. And I said, Yellowstone is not very far. Let's go. And I, again, just fell in love with the area. I spent a lot of time there as a kid and a teen. But, you know, there's just the pine smell.
Yes.
The bears, the buffalo, the mountains, and that sky that is a color of blue that no novelist can capture on a page. And I'm known for heartwarming women's fiction and family sagas set in areas where you'd love to vacation. And I thought, I love to vacation here, so I have to take my readers here.
I love that. Now, which came first for this new series, the Teton Mountain series, of which, by the way, you guys, if it is not already Monday the 17th, or no, what day would that be? 18th, then you can pre-order Where We Belong. But if it is Monday the 18th or later, you can go ahead and just snatch that thing right up. But what came first, the setting or characters or a feeling of where you wanted a plot to go? What started it for you?
Well, this was the last couple of series I've done. Well, no, that's not true. I think all my series, the inception is always the setting where I want to take my readers on vacation. Yeah. And then I immediately turn to characters. So for the Teton Mountain series, I called and arranged for Alan and I to go last summer and stay for a couple of weeks at the Heart Six Ranch.
Nice.
And so we worked. We made beds. We barbecued, we rode horses, we put away horses, because I wanted to absorb what that was like. And so, And then I made friends with all those people there. And so the first, the really cool thing is we did a custom cover. So this is my cover. Let me see if I can get it over here.
I love it.
This is right here.
Yes.
Is the Heart Six Ranch.
Yay.
And we took this picture, the little cowboy hat on a rock at the Heart Six Ranch. So this is all custom art on this one. And so it was just so fun because the first story focuses the entire series focuses on four girlfriends who've been girlfriends since high school. They're tight. And the first story focuses on Charlie Grace, which her dad has kind of run the ranch into the ground financially. And he's of the old school, doesn't quite understand all the new ways. And she takes it over. It's about ready to crash and burn when she takes it over and she makes it into a guest ranch and he's not happy about it. So there's a huge tension between the dad and Charlie Grace. And so while she's trying to do all this, she needs some help. She's out trying to hire people. And what does her dad do? He behind her back hires her philandering ex-husband. Pitifully is constantly taking a roll in the hay with whatever girl help they've got on the ranch. So she's got some stuff to face.
I would imagine you're able to eke emotion and humor out of that situation.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I'm a study of people. I mean, you probably are too, but when you're in trial and you watch people and you learn what makes them tick and what makes them afraid, what makes them feel. In fact, my favorite quote is E.L. Doctorow's, "History tells us what happened, but fiction tells us how it felt." And so I'm constantly trying to give my readers all the ride of the feelings, you know? And so I typically try to almost immediately go find my people. And I'm a real visual person. So I go to the internet and on this one, I found my people. And I don't know their actual celebrity names, but this is Charlie Grace. I think it's Jennifer.
That's Jennifer Garner. So Jennifer Grace has some feel of Jennifer Garner. Charlie Grace. Yes. Yeah. I love it.
And so I pin this up when I'm riding in her POV. That way I'm kind of in her head. And her philandering husband, the ex-husband that Gibbs, this is from a movie, Something to Talk About.
Oh, that old Dennis Quaid photo is, yeah. That is gold. I'm repeating all this for the podcast listeners here that aren't getting to see these great pictures. Yeah, but if you can remember how beautiful Dennis Quaid was 20, 30 years ago, he was so cute. He still is, but he's just older.
And he's just got so much mirth in his smile and everything. But then her new love is McDreamy from...
I love it. From Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, so cool. Patrick Dempsey. Patrick Dempsey, who looks like my husband. So we.
Oh, lucky you.
My husband's had a crooked nose. But other than that, he looks like Patrick Dempsey. So, I'm all over that. Literally. I love it. Those are great. That's a great idea. I don't do that with my characters, but I can really see how that would sometimes really lift me up in voice to be able to be looking into their eyes and thinking, what would Charlie say if she was embodied by Jennifer Garner right now? That's right. Love it. Now,
the movie just starts playing in our head. You were on here talking just before we came on live, and you were talking about how you were racing to get this chapter done. And what's really cool is when you finally get to that place where the movie is playing in your head, it's playing, and all you're doing is trying to keep up with it.
Exactly. And, you know, I've had situations where characters will completely surprise me, like characters I didn't know were in the book will suddenly be trotting on screen and I'm laughing before they get there. And I don't know what's about to happen, but I think it's funny. Or you start crying and you're like, but we're not sad. And then, oh no, yes, we are. You know, it just sweeps along and you're following it. And you just have to just keep up with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, a drug to novelists when we get to that place where that's what's going on in your head.
I know. Last month, in the month of February, I wrote 85,000 words. That's my record for a month. And it was because just every now and then I get a story where you are so swept away by the story that you don't ever have to slow down. You're a typist, you know? Yeah. I mean, I guess it's more than that because you've created characters and setting and it is playing out in your head. But at that moment, you're just a conduit.
Yeah. And if I do get stuck, I don't know about you, but the place I have to go is water. I don't know what is with that, but if it's in the shower or in the bathtub or out in the swimming pool, but that somehow gets all that movie playing again for me.
That's interesting. I do get up and get in the shower. I always think, why am I doing this? I don't need a shower. It's the middle of the afternoon. Maybe it's unconscious, but I go get in the shower or the pool or the hot tub. Yeah. All those things. Yeah. That's funny.
I have friends though that go on walks and I hear you're quite the hiker. So maybe that's another avenue that you.
I have dogs that really want to be outside. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do, but not so much right now because we're living in Bakersfield, California, and it's not quite as scenic. When I say living in, we are temporarily in an Airbnb house in Bakersfield. Wyoming is still our permanent home. So no one should worry that we have deserted our beautiful Wyoming home. And I tell you, one of these days, you know, if your husband and you are looking at checking out those Wyoming settings, our house is a guest lodge. And I have had writers retreats there. I've even had readers retreats where I ran a contest and let readers compete to see who'd come spend a week. And we went and toured all of like the locations of settings of the book and stuff. It was really fun.
What a cool thing.
That was very fun. But, you know, it's nice when you have a big house that's a lodge that pays for itself, right? Because it's, you know, a lodge and you already live where the books are set in a place that people want to come. So that did help. If I was still in Dallas, you know, in the condo that we kept there for my husband's job, I probably wouldn't have been able to entice too many people.
You're called the Cement City.
Yeah, exactly.
Although the blue bonnets are blooming right now. They just started. And oh my gosh.
That's right. That's the time of year. Mm-hmm. There were some down in Galveston when I was there last weekend and they were beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it does have many lovely things about it. The great state of Texas was where I was born. And so I'm not going to down talk it. I'll just up talk Wyoming a little bit. And we certainly do have a lot of the readers and listeners on this show that are big fans of the Rocky Mountain West. And the greater Rocky Mountain West, since we consider our Wyoming mountains to be kind of an extension of the Rockies and up and through, you know, Canada and stuff like that. So before we leave the topic of this new book series, is there anything we haven't told listeners, viewers, readers about it that we would be remiss not to get out there? Because we've got a speed round to play with some questions, yeah. But I'm excited about this new series and want to be sure we have covered it all. Oh,
just let me show the covers. I love them.
Oh, Kelly, those are beautiful.
The designer did such a good job.
Oh man.
So there'll be four of them. One comes out Monday. The book number two comes out 30 days later. Another one comes out early midsummer. And then the next one, early fall.
I love that. So they're not going to have to wait really too terribly long to get their fix once they've jumped into this world with these friends and in the gorgeous Western Wyoming mountains. By the way, Emily says hello. I only know her name is Emily because we've corresponded by email. And I always laugh and say, I know that doesn't look like Emily on the screen, but that's Emily. Hi, Emily. Emily has a beautiful cat. all right. So with all my guests, we do what I call the speed round. And this is a chance for the listeners and readers and viewers to see the ways in which their favorite authors are the same or are different. So are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually have to go fast. You can elaborate as much as you want. But first of all, are you, if you had to pick, a dog or a cat person, Kelly?
Oh, a dog person, dog person, dog person. I have a little Yorkie that her name is Lennon Gumdrop.
Oh my goodness.
And
oh my gosh, she's like a little darling. I've seen pictures of her on Facebook and she's so tiny.
She's so precious.
Have you ever been a cat person at all? Are you anti-cat?
No, I'm allergic. But my sister is the cat person. She loves kitty cats.
Well, there's one in every family, right? Emily said beautiful color covers and cute doggy. And Gumdrop is a cute name. So when you sit down, I know that when you sit down to write that you break it up with water when you get stuck. But do you tend to write in the same spot, in the same outfit? Do you kind of have a thing or do you... just whatever moves you. What's your general vibe?
I'm one of those odd people. So many of my author friends write in their pajamas.
Yeah.
But some of them rarely get dressed when they're really in the thick of things. And I'm just the opposite. I cannot sit down and write until I've got a shower and I've got, clothes on. And I had COVID and lost my hair. It grew back kind of, but not enough to bother with. So I wear wigs. So
that's cool that it doesn't look like a wig.
I know. So I don't have to do my hair every morning. Oh, I just put it. And Pamela, don't tell. And readers, shh. Yeah. I have 52 wigs now.
52. How fun. Are any of them like crazy fun? Or are they
have blonde ones and brown ones and red ones and long ones. And because my hair was always thin. And so now I get to, so it's not hard for me to just get dressed and put a wig on. So that's always what I do. And then I start writing.
I love that. So you don't go through the whole, I got to dry my hair. I got to curl my hair. I got to go color my hair. You open a box and go, what am I feeling today? That's fun. Well, and that's also making lemonade out of lemons because COVID. I had an illness once where my hair fell out and it grew back, but it didn't grow back the same. It grew back wiry, like weird. And so sister, I feel you on that.
I could probably get by with my own hair, but I thought, why?
Yeah. All of a sudden you've discovered a new world and the wig makers love people like you. They're like, why would you need your own hair? You know, it's easier than extensions too. And extensions are a pain in the behind. So a wig is just do it.
Yeah. And I had no idea. The first time I went into the wig shop, there were four young girls in there coming in to get their head shaved so they could have these fancy glue on hair. They call it alternate hair, AH. And they had strawberries with chocolate and champagne. It was a party. They were all getting their hair shaved. And I thought, this is a weird world I live in. But
It is a weird world. I'm a little infatuated with this now. I mean, it's probably not going to be a big thing in Wyoming in the mountains where I live, but still I'm infatuated with this. So you are a get up like you're going to work kind of person. Yep. And at 3:30 in the morning, that's what you. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but we were talking about the ways in which we were similar earlier. I do the same thing with my husband every morning. He gets up. It's 4 at our house, not 3:30, but I still think it's awful. But I get up too. It's like, okay, here we go. And I start with the administrative side of what we do and get all that done. And then I move to the creative and back to the administrative. So tell you what, every time we talk, we discover we're living.
We discover more that we're alike.
We're living the same life.
Mother.
Yeah, exactly. So the stage of your writing process that you enjoy the most, do you like research? Do you like outlining, first drafts? Do you like revision? Do you enjoy most that period where you're releasing it into the wild? What is it about it that you love most?
I love the research and developing the characters, finding the pictures, figuring out who they are, because I love people and I love to figure out what lie they believe and why. I'm going to fix that, because in my books, and women's fiction is kind of generally this way, a character comes into the story one way and they leave changed.
Right.
And it's the things inside the story that change them, which could be romance, could be other things, could be murder, but something changes them and they leave a different person. And I love figuring that part out. That's about, I don't plot, but that's, I do figure out that stuff.
Yeah. And then that drives it, right? Yeah. I mean, you know what they're, like you said, the lie that they believe. And what motivates them to step foot into the world and then take it from there.
Yeah.
So the research, well, when you take really good research trips like you do as well, that has to also help, you know, like go stay at the Hat Six Ranch.
And to answer about the releasing of the book, I've got a release on Monday, but this is a secret I think some authors share with me. And that is, I really don't like release day.
Oh yeah.
It is, to me, it feels like going on a parade, walking naked down a street. That's how it feels to me.
That's not a good feeling.
You who are listening, I'm not exactly Jennifer Garner. middle-aged, and I have some wrinkles and I have some saggies, and I, you know, walking down naked just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
It feels like, it's like, will they like it? Will they love these characters like I do? Will they enjoy chapter 7 when he comes in and he says this and she's, you know, I just worry about all of that. And about a week later, I finally settle down and feel like, okay, they love my people.
Yeah. Well, I know exactly what you mean. And in books, you show, you know, a lot of times when a reader's reading, to them, it is all about those characters. But when you're the writer, it's about those characters, but it's also about your heart and you and your blood, sweat, and tears. It's like one of your babies. It's like releasing a part of your soul, and all those things are incredibly naked feeling. Mm-hmm. And it makes you super vulnerable. So you almost have to disassociate it from it when it's release day. Like, this is a process I have to get through. I have these things to do. Today we release a book and we talk to people about it, no matter how much we don't want to. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm already on to the next one by then. So I'm like, can't quite remember.
Well, and for all of you readers who are going to listen to this, let me just reiterate how much we appreciate a review, how much we appreciate. You have no idea what it means to us. We love honest reviews. But when our books resonate and you tell us and you send emails and you put up those reviews and you're out shouting around about, you got to read this book. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It keeps us going. Mm. And sometimes you'll read a review, or my husband will in our case, because I'm scared of them. There's like 17,000 on one of my books and I'm still scared of them. Right. I mean, it's like, there can't be something that bad. It's a 4.6 rating with 17,000 reviews, and I won't read the reviews, but he'll read them to me. And he'll say, people really like X, or people don't understand why, you know, and it makes a difference to us. It literally is like, oh, they like that character. They like that thing. I want to give them more of what they like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ultimately that's, we write for our readers, you know, nothing delights us more than to delight them.
Exactly. Because I don't know about you, but I don't ever read my books again when I'm done. I mean, I will listen to the audiobook before I write the next one to make sure it's in my head again, but I don't ever read it again. Yeah. I mean, I just never do. And so it's gone. It belongs to them.
Readers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it becomes something else too. Do you find sometimes that people, not necessarily that they misunderstand you, but they take something from something you've done and they embrace it in a way that you didn't expect, but that's beautiful. You know, like.
That's right. They bring their world to it and they write the rest of the story in their mind. And it's a very intimate thing when you read a book.
So Emily wants to know if you write your characters based on people around you. Like when you were at this Hat Six Ranch, were you like taking notes going, I see what you're doing there?
Yeah, some. I especially remember taking a lot of notes when I was in trial. I think I always knew I was going to be a writer because I was constantly taking notes. I knew I was going to either be a writer or a jury consultant. Mm-hmm. And so, I study people. I'm the person who goes to dinner with her husband and, you know, he's talking to me, but I'm really watching the couple over there that are fighting.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what they're fighting about. Do they love each other? Is this a disagreement or is this the end?
You know, my husband and I have this conversation when we're at dinner. That's what we were talking about is we're looking at each other going out of the corner of your eye, two tables to the left. And then we make up these elaborate things. God, we have to go to dinner, Kelly. Well, and I'm looking at the time realizing that we are starting to exceed what it is that I told Kelly we would do. I'm like, oh, we'll talk for 20 to 25 minutes. We're at 27. We're like rocking.
I think we need to chat more often.
I think we do. If you had to pick just a few more of the regular questions, are you a sushi or a pizza type of girl?
Sushi. Yeah.
Sushi.
I like pizza.
You grew up in Idaho. You lived in Dallas. There are no oceans there. Jana Lynn Kocher said she looks forward to reading your new series. And I do too. Most of the time, you guys, I've already read the books when someone comes on, but these are not out yet. So yeah. I'm having to wait just like the rest of you to get my hands on Where We Belong in the Teton Mountain series. And we can't wait, Kelly. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us first about the new series. And I just hope it goes great for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to meet everyone.
Yay. Everyone say bye to Kelly. Bye, Kelly. And you guys, next week there will be at this same time, this same place, another show, another guest author, another book to talk about. If you want to see past shows, if you want to prep for the upcoming shows by taking a look at an author's books, you can go to my website, PamelaFaganHutchins.com, where it will not hurt my feelings at all if you pick up a few of mine and read them, but where you can also see these writers that I am specifically and specially recommending to you that I'm bringing on the show because I think they're wonderful. I do need to, as always, tell you that this is a solely owned and copyrighted production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, a digital media corporation with 4 million viewers and listeners in 153 countries. Thank you for being one of those listeners, readers, and viewers. And thank you for spending your 29 minutes with me today. It's been a lot of fun, and I'll see you same time, same place next week.
Thanks for joining us today on Crime and Wine, chats with crime fiction authors and Pamela Fagan Hutchins. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll check back in with us next time for more thrills, suspense, and stories that will mystify, sometimes horrify, and always leave you wanting more.